The Forest of Enchantments stands as one of the most profound retellings of the ancient Ramayana epic, with author Chitra Banerjee Devakaruni accomplishing what many before her dared not attempt, giving voice to Sita, whose perspective has been overshadowed for centuries. This masterpiece has garnered praise from literary critics worldwide and found its way onto the bookshelves of celebrities like Deepika Padukone and Priyanka Chopra, who have cited it as transformative reading. Beyond its literary acclaim, the novel has sparked important conversations about gender dynamics in ancient texts and inspired theatrical adaptations across India. What makes this retelling revolutionary is not just its shift in narrative perspective, but how it transforms a tale of duty and dharma into one that questions the very foundations of love, sacrifice, and a woman's place in society. Sita's story begins not with her marriage to Ram, but with her mysterious origins. Found as an infant in a plowed field by King Janak of Mithila, she grows up with extraordinary abilities, healing plants with her touch, understanding their medicinal properties, and possessing unusual strength. Though raised as a princess, she secretly trains in martial arts under her mother's arrangement, preparing for an uncertain future. Her connection to nature runs deep, as does her strange affinity for Shiva's sacred bow kept in the palace, a weapon no man has been able to lift, yet which responds to her touch and shows her visions. When Princes Ram and Lakshman arrive in Mithila, Sita feels an immediate connection to Ram that transcends the physical world. Their brief encounter at the temple leaves her yearning for him, though she worries about a priest's warning that their union would bring both joy and suffering. During Ram's test to win her hand, stringing and drawing Shiva's bow, he does more than succeed. He breaks the sacred weapon, sending a shard of light skyward with unearthly music. This moment foreshadows how Ram will both fulfill and shatter Sita's life. Their courtship reveals Ram's complexity, his devotion to duty, his gentle nature, and his profound connection to Sita. When they speak privately in the garden after their betrothal, Ram confesses that leaving Mithila without her would have left a great emptiness at the center of my life. This tender moment establishes their love as something transcendent, beyond the arranged political marriage it appears to be. Yet, even before their wedding, Sita's dreams warn of future trials. She sees herself flying through the air, tearing off bridal jewelry in fury, cursing someone she calls trickster, while a dark voice laughs. These premonitions, along with her mother's warnings about the complex politics of Ayodhya's court, foreshadow the challenges that await her in her new home. Sita's arrival in Ayodhya thrusts her into a web of palace intrigues centered around King Dasharatha's three queens, Kaushalya, Ram's mother, the chief queen but not the favorite, Sumitra, mother of twins Lakshman and Shatrughna, and Kaikeyi, the beautiful, accomplished queen who holds Dasharatha's heart. Sita quickly learns that survival requires political acumen as much as wifely devotion. Her first challenge comes when she notices how Kaushalya has been marginalized despite being Ram's mother. With quiet determination, Sita implements a plan to reunite the aging king with his first wife, arranging intimate family dinners where Kaushalya can shine. This small act of kindness reveals Sita's compassionate nature and political intelligence, traits that make her not just a devoted wife, but a skilled queen. Her encounter with the formidable Kaikeyi proves even more revealing. When summoned to Kaikeyi's opulent chambers, Sita finds herself challenged to a sword duel, a test she passes with unexpected skill, earning the queen's grudging respect. This scene illuminates Sita's hidden strengths. Beneath her gentle exterior lies a woman trained to defend herself, capable of standing her ground against intimidation. These early days in Ayodhya establish the pattern of Sita's life, navigating between her love for Ram and the complex demands of royal politics. Their nights together become a sanctuary, where they share their deepest thoughts, her wondering about her birth parents, his fears about becoming a worthy king. When Ram defines a good king as one who follows the laws perfectly, even when his heart might beg him to do otherwise, Sita feels an unexpected disquiet, sensing that his rigid adherence to duty might someday conflict with their love. The turning point comes when King Dasharath, influenced by Kaikeyi's nursemaid Manthara, invokes two old promises to banish Ram to the forest for 14 years and crown her son Bharat instead. Despite Sita's protests about this injustice, Ram accepts his fate without hesitation, bowing formally to Kaikeyi while Sita watches helplessly. When Ram prepares to leave, Sita insists on accompanying him, cleverly appealing to his sense of duty. A wife's dharma is to be with her husband wherever he goes. Though Ram protests that forest life would be too dangerous for her, Sita's determination prevails. This decision reveals her courage and the depth of her love. She chooses hardship with Ram over comfort without him. The forest exile transforms their relationship. Away from palace protocols and royal duties, they experience a freedom and intimacy previously unknown to them. Sita finds joy in their simple dwelling by the Godavari River, in the spectacular sunsets and moonrises, and in seeing Ram finally relax, becoming a tender lover who braids wildflowers in her hair. These years represent the purest expression of their love, uncomplicated by external pressures. Yet, even in this idyll, challenges arise. When Sita expresses her desire for children after a decade in the forest, Ram gently refuses, unwilling to subject a child to forest dangers or deprive them of proper royal education. His decision, though kindly expressed, causes Sita profound pain, a reminder that even in their closest moments, Ram's principles sometimes create distance between them. The forest also brings encounters with its inhabitants, particularly the Rakshasas, whom Ram views as enemies to be eliminated. When Sarpanaka, a Rakshasa woman, approaches Ram with romantic interest, his rejection leads to violence. Lakshman mutilates her face at Ram's command. This incident reveals Ram's capacity for cruelty when his moral boundaries are crossed and foreshadows the greater tragedy to come. Sarpanaka's mutilation sets in motion the central crisis of Sita's life, her abduction by Ravan, king of Lanka, and Sarpanaka's brother. The sequence begins with a golden deer that captivates Sita completely. Despite Ram and Lakshman's suspicions about its supernatural nature, Sita demands Ram catch it for her, invoking his marriage vow to provide for her needs. When Ram departs to hunt the deer, and cries of pain that sound like his voice reach the hut, Sita insists Lakshman go to his aid. Left alone, she encounters a disguised sadhu who tricks her into stepping outside Lakshman's protective boundary, revealing himself as Ravan, who carries her away to Lanka in his flying chariot. Sita's captivity in Lanka tests her in ways that transform her from a sheltered princess into a woman of indomitable spirit. Confined to Ravan's pleasure gardens, tormented by Rakshasi guards who use magical illusions to break her spirit, she develops mental disciplines to maintain her sanity. The plants and trees become her silent allies. She heals them with her touch, and they offer comfort in return. Ravan himself presents a complex figure, not the one-dimensional villain of traditional tellings, but a man of contradictions. During his visits, he alternates between threatening Sita with tortures if she refuses to become his queen and sharing vulnerable stories from his difficult life. His voice carries an enchantment that compels Sita to listen and feel an unwanted sympathy, complicating her understanding of good and evil. Most surprising is the revelation that Mandogari, Ravan's chief queen, believes Sita might be their long-lost daughter, whom she saved from execution by bribing a servant to take the infant away. Though Sita rejects this mad fantasy with disgust, the possibility haunts her, forcing her to question her origins and feel an unwanted connection to her captor. After nearly a year of captivity, Sita receives her first ray of hope when Hanuman, Ram's monkey emissary, finds her in the garden. He offers to carry her back immediately on his back, but Sita refuses, insisting that Ram must rescue her himself and defeat Ravan, fulfilling a divine prophecy. This decision reveals Sita's understanding of cosmic purpose beyond personal comfort. She intuitively knows that some greater plan requires Ram's confrontation with Ravan. The war between Ram's forces and Ravan's army brings unprecedented devastation to Lanka, with its golden towers crumbling and streets running red. The conflict reaches its zenith in an epic duel between Ram and Ravan, a battle that shakes the heavens themselves. In Ravan's final moments, as Ram's divine arrow pierces his heart, both he and Sita experience a transcendent vision. They find themselves in Vaikuntha, the celestial realm where the cosmic truth unfolds. Ram stands revealed as Vishnu incarnate, while Sita shimmers with the radiance of Lakshmi, his eternal divine consort. This mystical revelation transforms their earthly struggle into something far more profound, a divine drama orchestrated across multiple lifetimes and planes of existence. The triumph of good over evil, however, doesn't bring the joyous reunion Sita anticipated. When she finally approaches Ram, her heart soaring with love and relief, she encounters not her beloved husband, but a king bound by public opinion. Ram steps back, his face a mask of royal duty, and delivers words that cut deeper than any weapon. Her virtue, he declares, would be forever questioned by his subjects after spending a year in Ravan's domain. Even as Sita protests with passionate dignity, describing how she never once entered Ravan's palace, how she sat in the Ashoka Grove maintaining her fidelity through meditation and prayer, Ram remains unmoved, suggesting she might find refuge with Vibhishan or even choose another husband. The public humiliation proves unbearable. Before the assembled armies and witnesses, Sita makes a decision born of both desperation and determination. She commands Lakshman to build a funeral pyre, her voice steady despite her breaking heart. As the flames rise, she addresses both earth and heaven. "If I have remained true to Ram in thought, word, and deed, let these flames protect me." She steps into the fire with grace that silences even her critics. What follows becomes legend. Agni, the fire god himself, emerges from the flames, cradling Sita unharmed in his arms. He testifies to her absolute purity, forcing Ram to acknowledge her innocence. Ram embraces her then, explaining his actions as necessary to silence any doubts about her character in his kingdom. Though Sita, overwhelmed by love and relief, offers forgiveness, the transformation wrought by fire leaves an indelible mark. "I emerged not just Sita, daughter of earth, but also Sita, daughter of fire, though I didn't yet understand what this meant." This Agni Pariksha, trial by fire, becomes more than just a test of virtue. It represents a fundamental fracture in their relationship. Though they reconcile, the moment when Ram chose public perception over personal trust creates a wound that never fully heals, setting the stage for future trials and separations. The fire that proved Sita's purity also forged her into something new, a woman who had faced both divine judgment and human doubt, emerging stronger but forever changed. Their return to Ayodhya presents immediate and daunting challenges. The once magnificent palace stands in severe disrepair, its halls dusty, gardens overgrown, and treasuries diminished. Most servants had scattered during the 14-year absence, leaving only a skeletal staff maintaining basic functions. The city itself shows signs of neglect, with trade routes disrupted and administrative systems in disarray. Sita demonstrates remarkable leadership in this crisis. Drawing from her personal resources, she sells her ornate jewelry and uses the funds strategically. She recruits experienced palace staff, reinstates traditional household systems, and methodically restores each wing of the vast complex. Her practical wisdom shines as she prioritizes essential repairs and implements new efficiency measures. During this period, she discovers troubling developments. Bharat, consumed by guilt, has confined Kaikeyi to a sparse chamber in the palace's remote wing. More mysteriously, Urmila, Lakshman's devoted wife, remains in an inexplicable trance-like state, having neither aged nor stirred since the day of their departure. Ram's vision of Ram Rajya, ideal kingdom, takes shape with Sita as its cornerstone. She transforms the palace into a center of social reform and public welfare. Her initiatives are far-reaching. She establishes a network of safe houses across Ayodhya for abandoned and widowed women, providing them shelter and dignified work. The palace gates open daily for female petitioners, giving women unprecedented access to royal justice. Her micro-lending program helps women start small businesses, from weaving cooperatives to spice trading ventures. Perhaps most revolutionary is her establishment of free schools that welcome children of all castes, including girls, a radical departure from tradition. The people's love for Sita grows into near worship. They witness her walking through marketplace and slum alike, stopping to listen to every petition. Stories spread of miraculous occurrences, grains seemingly multiplying in storehouses she oversees, gardens blooming out of season where she walks. They bestow upon her names of deep reverence: Lakshmi, goddess of prosperity; Annapurna, food giver; Pushpavati, queen of flowers; and Dukharan, remover of sorrows. Their personal joy reaches its zenith with Sita's pregnancy. Ram's reaction is one of pure elation. He presents her with an heirloom pearl necklace and personally oversees modifications to her chambers for maximum comfort. They choose to keep this precious news private, planning a grand announcement at Ram's upcoming coronation to double the kingdom's celebration. Yet beneath this golden period, darkness stirs. Sirpanika makes an unsettling appearance, having transformed herself to resemble Ram's sister perfectly. Her visit leaves behind two chilling markers: a verbal threat to Sita's life and an eerily lifelike image of Ravan burned into the palace floor, a reminder that past conflicts remain unresolved. Though Ram publicly supports Sita's account of the incident, his momentary hesitation reveals hairline cracks in their hard-won peace, suggesting that complete trust remains elusive even in their apparent paradise. The final tragedy unfolds when Ram, hearing a washerman's refusal to take back his wife with the comment that he isn't like Ram, who accepted a wife who might be impure, makes the devastating decision to banish his pregnant wife. Without discussing it with her, he instructs Lakshman to leave her at Valmiki's ashram in the forest. When Lakshman reveals this truth at the riverbank, Sita collapses in shock before rage gives way to cold defeat. "He sentenced me to banishment because people whispered I might have betrayed him," she tells Lakshman. "But he's the real betrayer. Who's going to sentence him?" She flees into the forest, determined to live for her unborn children and teach them never to treat a woman as their father has treated her. At Valmiki's ashram, Sita gives birth to twin sons, Love and Kush, who become beloved children of the community. Though heartbroken, she finds purpose in raising them, teaching them to recognize medicinal herbs and self-defense techniques, while Valmiki instructs them in Vedic knowledge and, surprisingly, combat skills. The boys excel at archery, their father's favorite weapon, and demonstrate the ability to summon magical astras, weapons, through incantations. Years later, the boys encounter Ram during his Ashwamedh Yagna, horse sacrifice ceremony, not knowing he is their father. After they defeat his army and bind him with magical cords, Sita reveals their identity and heals Ram's wounds. Valmiki arranges for the boys to perform the Ramayana at Ram's court, where Ram embraces them as his heirs. When Ram sends for Sita, asking her to prove her innocence once more through another fire ordeal, she makes a different choice this time. Speaking of justice, fairness, and the burden her submission would place on future women, she refuses his offer. As she rejects him, the earth cracks open beneath her and flames surround her protectively. With her final words, she forgives Ram, explaining that true love, like the ocean, is unfathomable, astonishing, and measureless, before returning to the earth that first gave her life. What distinguishes Deva Karuni's retelling is her attention to women traditionally relegated to the margins of the epic. Through Sita's compassionate gaze, we see the humanity in characters often portrayed as villains or mere plot devices. Kaikeyi, traditionally vilified for causing Ram's exile, appears here as a complex woman whose actions stem from maternal love and manipulation by her nursemaid Manthara. When Sita encounters her years later, skeletal, dressed in widow's white, living in penance, she recognizes how similar Kaikei's actions were to Rom's rejection of her, both done from a sense of duty. This realization leads Sita to forgive the once proud queen, placing her trembling hands in Rom's. Serpanaka, usually depicted as a lustful demoness deserving of mutilation, becomes a woman whose gravest crime was desiring the wrong man. Her suffering and subsequent revenge reveal the consequences of casual cruelty, even toward those deemed other. Mandadari, Ravan's chief queen, emerges as a tragic figure torn between loyalty to her husband and horror at his actions. Her belief that Sita might be their daughter adds a layer of complexity to the traditional enemy relationship, suggesting connections that transcend simplistic moral boundaries. Even Ermila, Sita's sister and Lakshman's wife, receives her due. Left behind when Lakshman accompanies Ram and Sita to the forest, she enters a yogic sleep to take on her husband's sleep debt, experiencing cosmic truths in her dreams. This reimagining transforms her from abandoned wife to spiritual adept, making her own sacrifice for the greater mission. Through these portraits, Deva Karuni challenges us to see beyond the binary of good and evil, exploring how circumstances and choices create complex moral landscapes, where even the villains have their reasons and the heroes their flaws. At its heart, The Forest of Enchantments asks profound questions about the nature of love and duty. Ram represents Dharma, righteousness, taken to its extreme, willing to sacrifice personal happiness for societal expectations. His rejection of Sita, first after her rescue and then during her pregnancy, stems not from lack of love, but from his unyielding belief that a king must be above reproach, even at terrible personal cost. Sita, by contrast, embodies a more nuanced understanding of Dharma that includes compassion and individual truth alongside social duty. Her final refusal to submit to a second fire ordeal represents not a rejection of Ram, but an assertion that love without trust and respect is incomplete. The novel also explores the burden placed on women to prove their worth repeatedly while men's words are taken at face value. When Sita questions why she must endure fire to prove her fidelity, while no one questions Ram's actions during their separation, she speaks for countless women across time who have been held to impossible standards. Perhaps most powerfully, Deva Karuni's retelling examines the concept of endurance, not as passive suffering, but as active resistance. Endurance wasn't weakness or acceptance of injustice, Sita realizes. It meant facing challenges intelligently until growing stronger than them. This reframing transforms Sita from victim to hero of her own story, a woman who chooses her path even when all choices are difficult. In the end, The Forest of Enchantments offers no easy answers to its eternal questions. Instead, it invites readers to witness a love story of cosmic proportions, divine beings playing human roles, experiencing human joys and sorrows, and to consider how we might balance duty to others with truth to ourselves. Like the ocean Sita references in her final words to Ram, true love remains unfathomable, astonishing, and measureless, defying our attempts to contain it within rigid boundaries of right and wrong. Deva Karuni's masterpiece concludes with a powerful image, Lav and Kush singing not Valmiki's Ramayana, but Sita's own Satayan, my truth and the stories of all women pushed to the edges. This moment encapsulates the novel's revolutionary purpose, to recenter women's experiences in a narrative traditionally told from male perspectives. The Satayan represents not just Sita's personal account, but a collective testimony to female suffering, resilience, and wisdom across generations. When Sita begins writing her story in red ink, the color of menstruation, marriage marks, then the Ashoka flowers from my captivity, she hears other women's voices rising within her, Kaikeyi, Ahalya, Sorpanaka, Mandodari, and Ermila. Write our stories too, they plead, for always we've been pushed into corners, trivialized, misunderstood. This chorus of female voices transforms the singular hero's journey of the traditional Ramayana into a tapestry of interconnected experiences. Through Sita's compassionate gaze, we see how each woman navigates the constraints of her society, making difficult choices with limited options. Some, like Sorkanaka, rebel openly and pay a terrible price. Others, like Mandodari, work within the system to mitigate harm. All struggle to maintain their dignity and agency in a world that often treats them as possessions rather than persons. By writing the Satayan, Sita reclaims narrative authority, the power to tell her own story rather than having it told about her. This act of authorship becomes her final and perhaps most significant assertion of selfhood, ensuring that future generations will hear not just of Ram's righteousness, but of women's complex truths. When her sons perform this alternative epic in Ram's court, they challenge the official version of events, inserting women's perspectives into the historical record. The Forest of Enchantments thus invites readers to consider whose stories get told, whose get silenced, and how different the world might look if we listened more carefully to voices from the margins. In retelling this ancient epic from Sita's perspective, Divakaruni doesn't merely add a feminine viewpoint to a masculine tale, she fundamentally reimagines what constitutes heroism, suggesting that endurance, compassion, and truth-telling might be as worthy of celebration as battlefield victories.